Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Robert.
Your pants are on fire.
Wait, whoa, what?
Your pants are on fire.
Pants are on fire?
Yeah. It's going to be a good show.
Okay.
Yes. We have Robert back.
I'm back.
He's back. We talked him into coming back.
Back in the saddle again.
Yes. Yes. Well, here's a trivia question that might give you a hint about today's topic.
Okay.
This is from Arkamax.com. What does it mean when someone has a sudden increase in the number of ums and ahs when they speak, is being overly defensive, and they have no eye contact with you?
Well, I believe it's since lying is stressful, they will try to be sarcastic, turning their body away from you, talking fast, making statements that contradict each other, unusual body language, or hand reaching over to cover their mouth.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know.
Well, let's see. Here's a joke from Jokes for Us.
Yay, I like jokes.
I know. We love jokes here. A minister told his congregation, "Next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark 17.
Mark 17.
The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark 17. Every hand went up. The minister smiled and said,
"Mark only has 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." Awesome.
Isn't that great?
That's great. Busted.
Busted. So today's theme, of course, is...
Liar, liar.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Not the movie, though.
No, not the movie.
That was Jim Carrey, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Jim Carrey,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds right. We'll go with it.
Okay. So the curious saying or word for the day is fib.
The word is perhaps from the obsolete and dialectic fibble fabble, nonsense reduplication of fable.
Reduplication.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of doubles and duplicates.
It's when you repeat it three times, right?
Redundantly redundant.
Yeah. Repetitively redundant.
There you go. Repetitively redundant.
That's good. That was from wordnick.com, by the way. I have a top 10 list.
Top 10. I love our top 10 list.
Littlefivers.com.
Okay. How many are on our top 10 list this time?
Seven.
All right. Yeah. So we've got a top 10 list with seven. All right.
But it's not a top 7 list. It is a top
it's 10 a top
list. 10.
I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm learning.
You're getting
there.
I
get it.
These are the top 7 signs your doomsday prophet made the last thing up.
Okay.
Number 7. His King James Bible has a picture of LeBron on the cover.
Oh, boy. Number 6. Today's reading from the Gospel according to John. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be I'm going to try that again. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. There's nothing you can... Wow. It's an early morning. There's nothing you can be, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy.
It's easy.
All you need is love.
Da, 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 da. Number 5. It's true, but hardly relevant, that admission, €12, is one of the signs of the Acropolis.
He's been selling 4th of July fireworks on the side.
Number 3. He just won a toaster oven at Target for being the 1 millionth wrong doomsday prophet.
Number 2. A gigantic hemorrhoid striking the earth sounds gross, but not all that catastrophic.
Oh, that got Kat to put her head down.
Ew.
And the number 1 sign your doomsday prophet made that last thing up?
It is doubtful that Satan would know what a Starbucks gift card is, much less be scared off by legions of waving them about.
Gotta watch out for the Starbucks cards.
They're everywhere.
You know what we love?
What do we love?
We love dumb criminals.
They are my favorite.
Dumbcriminals.com. I love this one.
What do we got for today?
Acting is always a good talent to have and develop. It's a bit like lying, which is always helpful to be an expert in when faced with tight situations. Although being a broccoli stalk in your second grade performance of Nutrition is Our Friend doesn't really count as Broadway-bound talent.
No. However, this lady in Georgia is certainly working her way up. Desperate for money, her robbery technique was to knock on people's doors and say that her car was broken down. Next, she asked them to make a phone call, but seemingly got no answer. She also asked to use the restroom before leaving. After the woman thanked the residents and left, they discovered that they were suddenly missing cash, wallets, credit cards, etc.
Her scam was going well until one of the victims offered to try and fix her car. Needless to say, it started right up.
Oops.
According to the JC Herald, she bolted straight out of there. It also turned out that the number she had been calling was her own, leading the police straight to the wannabe damsel in distress.
Not bright.
So smart. Smart woman. That's why they call them dumb criminals, not smart criminals.
I don't think there's any such thing as a smart criminal.
No. No. I got another story.
I like stories, too.
Mm-hmm. Jokesforus.com. So, an officer, police officer, excuse me, pulls a guy over for speeding and has the following exchange.
May I see your driver's license?
I don't have one. It had it suspended when I got my fifth DUI.
May I see your owner's card for this vehicle?
It's not my car. I stole it.
The car is stolen?
That's right, but come to think of it, I think I saw the owner's card in the glove box when I was putting my gun in there.
There's a gun in the glove box?
Yeah, yes, sir. That's where I put it after I shot and killed the woman who owns this car and stuffed her in the trunk.
There's a body in the trunk?
Yes, sir. Hearing this, the officer immediately called his captain. The car was quickly surrounded by police, and the captain approached the driver to handle the tense situation.
Can I see your driver's license?
Sure, here it is. It was valid.
Whose car is this?
It's mine, officer. Here's the owner's car. The driver owned the car.
Could you slowly open the glove box so I can see if there's a gun in it?
Yes, sir, but there's no gun in it. Sure enough, there was nothing in the glove box.
Would you mind opening the trunk? I was told that there was a body in it.
No problem. Trunk's open, no body.
I don't understand. The officer who stopped you said you told him you didn't have a license, stole the car, and had a gun in the glove box, and that there was a dead body in the trunk.
Yeah, I bet that liar told you I was speeding, too. Robert, you see what happens when you don't read the script before the show?
That was great.
We've got the
I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, we got the Joe trifecta going. We told Robert that Joe goes cold and doesn't read the scripts before the show, and so he thought he'd try it today, and you should see his face right now. Yeah. It's about 20 shades of red.
A little red. Oh, that was good. I like that one.
Got another one.
Okay, good.
Minister was walking down the street when he came upon a group of a dozen boys, all of them between 10 and 12 years of age. The group had surrounded a dog. Concerned lest the boys were hurting the dog, he went over and asked,
"What are you doing with that dog?"
One of the boys replied,
"This dog is just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie will get to keep the dog."
Of course, the Reverend was taken aback.
"You boys shouldn't have a contest telling lies," he exclaimed. He then launched into a 10-minute sermon about lying, beginning, "Don't you boys know it's a sin to lie?" And ending with, "Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie."
There was a dead silence for about a minute. Just as the Reverend was beginning to think he'd gotten through to them, the smallest boy gave a deep sigh and said,
"All right, give him the dog."
Are liars all from the South? Because I noticed we've kind of gotten...
Yes, I'm from the South
today. Of the Mason-Dixon line today.
I'm from the South today.
We both are.
That's the accent of choice.
Ha-ha, I can make you speak Southern. Well, we got some fast... Well, they're not really fast facts. They're fast quotes from fastquotes.com.
Okay.
All about lying. Not Lion King, just lying.
Just lying.
Yeah. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. That one's by Mark Twain.
"I'm not upset that you lied to me. I'm upset from now on that I can't believe you." From Friedrich Nietzsche.
"The reason I talk to myself is because I'm the only one whose answers I accept." From George Carlin, one of my favorites.
I miss him. "There are three types of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics." From Benjamin Disraeli.
"Cheating and lying aren't struggles, they're reasons to break up." Patty Callahan Henry from Between the Tides.
If I told you I've worked hard to get where I'm at, I'd be lying, because I have no idea where I'm at right now. From Jared Kintz. This book is not for sale.
"Things come apart so easily when they've been held together with lies." From Dorothy Allison, Bastard Out of Carolina. Not that she's a bastard out of Carolina. Her book was named Bastard Out of Carolina. Sorry.
Good. Thank you for clarifying. And I always tell the truth, Even When I Lie, from Al Pacino.
Oh, we're having a good morning, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. just from aha jokes. Not ha-ha jokes. Aha jokes.
Aha.com. All right. Air Force One crashed in the middle of rural America. Panic-stricken, the Secret Service mobilized and descended upon the farm in force. When they got there, the wreckage was clear. The aircraft was totally destroyed, with only a burned hulk left smoldering in a tree that bordered the farm. Secret Service descended upon the smoking hulk, but could find no remains of the crew or the president's staff. To their amazement, a lone farmer was plowing the field not too far away, as if nothing at all had happened. They hurried over to surround the man's tractor.
"Sir," the senior Secret Service agent asked, panting and out of breath, "did you see this terrible accident happen?"
"Yep, sure did," the man muttered unconcernedly.
"Do you realize that this is the President of the United States' airplane?"
Yep.
"Were there any survivors?"
"Nope. They all killed straight out," the farmer sighed, cutting off a tractor motor. "I done buried them all myself. Took most of the morning."
"The President of the United States is dead?" the agent gulped in disbelief.
"Well," the farmer sighed, obviously wanting to get back to his work, "he kept a saying he wasn't, but you know what a liar he is."
Yeah. we don't talk about politics
on
this show.
No politics.
None. No politics at all. Well, here's one about dying and lying. Dying and lying, that could have been a topic.
That'd be a good song.
If you're not lying, you're dying. If you're lying, you're dying. Bill Gates dies and Satan greets him.
"Welcome, Mr. Gates. We've been waiting for you. This will be your home for all eternity. You've been selfish, greedy, and a big liar all your life. Now, since you've got me in a good mood, I'll be generous and give you a choice of three places in which you'll be locked up forever."
Satan takes Bill to a huge lake of fire in which millions of poor souls are tormented and tortured. He then takes him to a massive coliseum where thousands of people are chased about and devoured by starving lions. Finally, he takes Bill to a tiny room in which there is a bottle of the finest wine sitting on a table. To Bill's delight, he sees a PC in the corner. Without hesitation, Bill says,
"I'll take this option."
"Fine," says Satan, allowing Bill to enter the room. Satan locks the room after Bill.
As he turns around, he pumps into Lucifer.
"That was Bill Gates," cried Lucifer. "Why did you give him the best place of all?"
"That's what everyone thinks," snickered Satan.
"The bottle has a hole in it. But what about the PC?
"It's got Windows 95. Laughed Satan. "And it's missing three keys."
"Which three?"
"Control, Alt, and Delete."
Good Satan voice. A little frightening, actually.
I've practiced a lot with my kids.
I guess. So the weekly rant this week. Have you ever lied on a resume?
Nobody lies on resumes.
It's no.
It's all 100% factual.
Yeah, guess what? Crack.com found a few.
No.
Yes, it's a tough world out there for the job hunter. And who among us hasn't stretched the truth just a little bit in the resume department? Working at Subway counts as a sales job, right?
Sure it does. Actually, your problem may be that you're just not thinking big enough. Sit back, take a lesson from the all-time great resume fibbers. The Fox News war expert. The resume. Highly decorated retired Lieutenant Colonel J. Cafasso worked as an expert consulting for the Fox News during their coverage of the invasion of Afghanistan. And who better to help the Fox producers navigate the Byzantine insider world of the U.S. military than a man who has served in Vietnam and was honored with the Silver Star for bravery? Cafasso's resume didn't end with the war and Vietnam either. In 1980, he was part of the Operation Eagle Claw, the failed secret mission to rescue U.S. hostages in Iran. So he was a member of some losing teams, but you probably can't blame him for that. The point was, the man knew war and counterterrorism firsthand.
Unfortunately, He was also a bit of a know-it-all, and his demeanor began to wear on the nerves of some staff members. The Washington bureau chief for Fox News, Kim Hume, finally decided to let him go. Still, his employers held him in high regard. In an email message to the staff, Hume wrote that Fox's military and counterterrorism consultant, Mr. Cavasso, made crucial contributions to our coverage of the war on terror and helped take Fox's war coverage to the next level.
The fib. Cavasso had been let go to his...
A brusque.
Brusque personality. I didn't know that word.
I wondered why you were just pausing and looking at me. No, this is all true, Robert.
Okay. The fib. Cavasso had been let go to his brusque personality. But what the news hounds at Fox failed to uncover was that Cavasso was a complete fraud. His only military experience had been 44 days of boot camp in 1976, after which he had been discharged, presumably for being a liar.
It wasn't until an outside researcher who had worked with Cavasso hired investigators to look into his background and brought his findings to the network with the ruse that was revealed, after which we can only assume the minds behind Fox News tried to fire Cavasso again. But, hey, at least he was just acting as a war expert for cable news and didn't have an important job in Homeland Security or anything.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Homeland Security IT chief has many fake degrees. The resume. Dr. Laura Callahan literally held one of the most important IT positions in the country as the Department of Homeland Security's Deputy Chief Information Officer. That sounds important. We're talking about a person who managed databases full of information on terrorists here. And for good reason. She had spent years holding that position with the Department of Labor and had a PhD in computer science along with multiple other degrees.
And if you didn't know that, she'd be happy to tell you. She made it more than clear to everyone within earshot of her that she was the preeminent expert in her field. She led with a my-way-or-the-highway management style, and even the slightest questioning of her knowledge or authority could lead to a reprimand or termination. She demanded to be addressed as doctor at all times and mentioned her degree 9 times in her single-page biography. And why not? She earned that, didn't she?
Well, the fib is, maybe not. After years of this, a low-level employee in the government did some digging and found out that Callahan's PhD, actually all 3 of her degrees, had been purchased from an online diploma mill within the space of a year. In a cunning move that would impress the highest pedigree of master criminals, Callahan had them all backdated to make it appear she had them at the appropriate times in her career.
Let us remind you, Department of Homeland Security's Deputy Chief Information Officer. That meant Callahan was privy to highly classified material and was responsible for kind of important things like, well, you know, Homeland Security. All thanks to 3 fake degrees that managed to fool the federal government, but were no match for some random guy with Google.
Of course, this had to make you wonder if other high-level federal employees pulled the same trick. Thankfully, the government Accountability Office looked into it and only found about 500 people who did the same thing. More than half the Department of Defense. Wow, only 500.
Oh, and here's my favorite one. Janet Cook fakes a heroin baby. The resume, an interview with an 8-year-old heroin addict entitled Jimmy's World, landed Washington Post reporter Janet Cook the coveted Pulitzer Prize for journalism. Just a year earlier, Cook had applied at the Post with an impressive resume that included a Phi Beta Kappa degree from Vassar College. Executive editor Ben Bradley was so taken with this fact that he underlined it before forwarding the resume to managing editor Bob Woodward. Yes, that Bob Woodward. Who in turn hired Cook. Heck, on top of everything else, the woman even spoke 3 languages, English, French, and Spanish.
Immediately after Cook's gripping tale of 8-year-old dope addict was published, Washington, D.C. went crazy searching for little Jimmy. Mayor Marion Barry assigned a special task force to locate the young boy, presumably to ask him if they had shared the same dealer. After all schools, social services, and police contacts were put on high alert. Word went out that in the streets, that the big reward money was available for tips leading to the pint-sized addict's whereabouts, presumably after the idea to leave the trail of heroin baggies into cleverly disguised net trap of unanimously voted down.
Wow, but after a 17-day exhaustive search, Jimmy still couldn't be located. When pressed, Cook refused to divulge any information that would help find him. She explained that she needed to protect her sources and was also worried about her own safety from vindictive drug dealers.
The fib. Finally, rumors began to circulate that Jimmy didn't exist and that Cook had simply made him up, even though Cook wouldn't reveal her source and was quite dodgy about how and where the interview came to be. Woodward and the Washington Post stood firmly behind her.
Bob Woodward, the man who took down the Nixon administration.
In the midst of the heat coming down on her, when it came time to fill out the Pulitzer application, Cook swung for the fences. Scrutiny be darned. While Cook's original resume cited her ability to speak French and Spanish, on her new one, Portuguese and Italian were added to the growing linguistic repertoire. Her single fake award from the Ohio newspaper Women's Association blossomed into 6 separate awards, along with another from the Ohio AP. The newly improved bio also showed that she had graduated magna cum laude from Vassar in 1976. Impressive. She was only there for about 1 year and attended the Sorbonne in 1975.
In France. Hmm. After winning the Pulitzer, Cook's new enhanced biography appeared on the AP Wire, noting that the Pulitzer resume was even more fantabulous than the one they saw when hiring her. The higher-ups of the Washington Post finally decided to question her.
Even after lengthy interrogation, Cook stuck firmly to her story. So what finally caused her to come clean, causing the Pulitzer to be revoked and her to resign from the Washington Post?
Someone finally thought to ask her some simple questions in French, and it was obvious that she had no idea what was being said. And no one thought to do that before. Why the heck aren't our employers that trusting?
Wow.
That is the greatest story.
That's
I
fantastic.
Love that one.
Fantabulous.
Fantabulous. Don't get to say that on radio very often,
no.
Do you? Mm-mm. I have another top 10 list.
Top 10 list. All right.
Eight.
Eight on our top 10. We're getting closer.
Getting closer. These are the top 8 other false claims of Chicken Little. Number 8. The mountains are becoming self-aware.
Number 7. She warned Custer about the Norwegians at Little Bighorn.
Huh? Number 6. There was no basis to her claim that Jill was performing a lewd act on Jack before he fell down and broke his crown, even if that does explain why she went tumbling after.
Wow.
It's a family show, folks.
Number 5. She wasn't anywhere near the grassy knoll that day.
Number 4. Don't cross the road! Giant lethal hunks of hurtling metal sometimes appear out of nowhere.
Number 3. Some warning shot about mortgage-backed securities. Whatever they are.
Number 2. The rivers are getting away! The rivers are getting away!
And the number 1 other false claim of Chicken Little...
That's not my Coke stuffed egg, officer. I just found it under my nest. Oh, my gosh.
Chicken Little.
Chicken Little. We love Chicken Little. I have another top 10 list, just for giggles.
Okay.
These are the top 8 signs Grandpa's story just went off the rails.
All right. Well, again, we're getting closer.
Yeah.
8.
Number 8. 8. Of course, back then, nickels were the size of manhole covers made out of beef jerky.
Nice. Number 7. Back then, I had to drive my Hummer 6 miles in the snow just to get to Hollywood High School.
Number 6. The 17 midgets he hired to use as visual aids are starting to insist on their union-mandated meal break.
Number 5. So I told Napoleon, I said, Nappy, get yourself some lifts in them boots and your hand out of your junk. You're going to start getting a rep for a short, fanatical... egomaniac, like that Tom Cruise fella.
Number 4. Once he hit Berlin, he killed Eva Braun with his bare hands and seduced Hitler out of his panties. Sweet Lord, you have to hope he mixed those up.
Number 3. You've seen his legs, and there's no way he was ever a rocket.
Number 2, he just asked for the prop trunk.
And the number 1 sign, Grandpa's story just went off the rails.
And this one time at ham camp.
Ham camp.
Ham camp. Yeah, it's where you go to
ham it up.
Have some bacon. Yeah. Oh, we have ruminations.
Ruminations.
From ruminate.com. You know what?
What's that?
I have this addiction. I've been watching The Bachelorette and The Bachelor four seasons, and I can't stop. I know it's wrong.
You have to stop.
And I can't stop.
I think it's time for intervention.
Oh, my gosh. And I get so into it, and I cry when she cries. Oh,
wow.
She didn't pick Bruce. Oh, my God.
She didn't pick Bruce?
And she found out that Tom has a girlfriend back home.
No.
Yeah.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Awful.
So, in that line... I'm really pissed off that I forgot to watch TV last Monday. I wanted to see the look on that poor girl's face when she learned that Joe Millionaire Guy had been lying about his last name.
I don't think it's wrong to lie to women and tell them I'm a doctor, because they're probably lying to me when they say they need a gallbladder operation anyway.
I recently entered the National Pathological Liars Contest, and I won. Then again, all the entrants claim they won, too. Everybody's a winner at the Pathological Liars Contest.
Wow, that'd be a fun thing to see.
Oh, you know, the Irish have a lot of sayings about liars.
Do they now?
Yes, they do.
All right, I'd like to hear some of those.
From CelticNetwork.com.
A dishonest woman can't be kept, and an honest woman won't.
Never mind. You can keep away from the rogue, but you cannot keep yourself safe from the liar.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what's your favorite lie?
What's my favorite lie? Well, my ex-wife has quite a few of them.
Oh, ex-wife stories!
We have a group of friends, and she thought it would be... Once we got divorced, she thought it'd be best if... She got my friends to not want to be with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she sent a really long email to all of my friends and telling them that I was a child abuser, a spousal abuser. The police had been to our house several times.
Oh.
She had been swept away to a safety of a safe house. and that I was a cocaine addict. And
if you could see Robert...
You would know very well that I'm not a cocaine addict.
He's kind of a Boy Scout.
Not a
good-looking Boy Scout, but a Boy Scout nonetheless.
When I read that email, I was just floored that I, of all people, was a cocaine
addict.
Creative.
Yeah, very creative.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, my. Well, you know my lie.
Yes, I know your lie.
I had a guy done me wrong, so I called his business that he owned, and I was his sister, Annie, and... Annie had to tell his employees that he died in a motorcycle accident the night before. We just don't know what we're going to do, but close the place down and I'll go home for a while because it's going to be a long time morning.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That'll get him.
That's for you, Randy. That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Robert.
And together we're...
Fibbing a little.
No, together we're...
Cat soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Bye-bye.